please work. Please. Click, clicks. One, two. Please. Yes!
We're
yes!
Sorry.
Yes!
You have reached the next door. Disconnected or is no longer in service. If you feel you have reached this recording of error, please check the number and try your call again.
Go! See what's out there. No police. Everything looks normal. Phone isn't buzzing. I'm not home yet, but... Oh. Well... Hi folks, I'm James Lilacs, about to sit down at my accustomed place at the long boomerang pattern formica counter at this diner out on Old Highway 23, and I think I have some explaining to do. Have to catch my breath here. What did Churchill say? There's nothing more exhilarating than being shot at with no effect, or to no effect. It seemed to matter, it being a Churchill quote. Okay, let me just find something to play here while I settle my nerves. My heart is going like a flippin' hummingbird on meth here. Let's just go to C1. This is not right. Have the money? Is that it? Break the wow.
I left my baby in a field so bad. I guess my race is won. She's the best girl I ever had. I fought the law and the law won. I fought the law and the law won.
I'm here to tell you that actually it's really not a good idea to fight the law at all. Because I was, I have been on the run for a little while, and, I left my baby, and I feel bad, because she's the best gal that I ever had, but I'm probably pretty sure I got another one in this incrementally different universe, so I got that going for me, which is nice.
Robbing
all together now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, the thing he was robbing people with automatic
ones.
This is kind of a lame version. Or maybe it's the original. What if this isn't a cover? What if this is the only version that in this incrementally different universe of I Fought the Law and the Law Won? What if there is no Sonny Curtis in this IDU? Wow, that would be a big shame. Sonny Curtis, of course, was the guy who wrote that song, also a member of the Crickets, song popularized by the Bobby Fuller Four. Bobby Fuller, of course, found dead in the front seat of a car, doused with gasoline, and burned to death. Never explained. Angered somebody, somehow. So maybe that happened to Sonny Curtis in this IDU. I don't know. If it did happen to Sonny, if there was a Sonny Curtis, and he did perish in the same way as Bobby Fuller of the Bobby Fuller Four, then who wrote the song for the Mary Tyler Moore Show? That's what I need to know. Yeah, it's true. The same guy who wrote that great, tough song, I Fought the Law, is the same guy who wrote the theme song for the Mary Tyler Moore Show. Love is all around. Don't need to waste it. You can have the town. Why don't you take it? You're going to make it after all. Was there ever any doubt that Mary Richards was going to make it? I mean, Mary Richards was fairly smart, hardworking, and had the added benefit of looking like Mary Tyler Moore. I think her ticket was punched when she came to town. I think, yes, she was going to make it. There's a lost verse to Love Is All Around. Not many people know this, but I've made a great study of the Mary Tyler Moore Show. Now, the first verse is, how will you make it on your own? This world is awfully big, and girl, this time you're all alone, but it's time you started living. It's time you let someone else do some giving. That's set to the scene of her leaving her hometown. There is champagne flowing, and she is fending off the last advance of some corduroy middle-aged lech, giving him a little merry look. Oh, don't you, naughty boy. And then they show her driving down the freeway in Minneapolis. Now it's all completely built up. Then, in the very first season, there's nothing there. It's a wonderful little historical document. Anyway, love is all around. No need to waste it. You can have the town. Da-da-da-da. Second verse is, you are most likely to succeed. You have the looks and charms, and girl, you know that's all you need. All the men around adore you. That sexy look will do wonders for you. Love is... They cut that. All the men around adore you. That sexy look will do wonders for you. Well, the interesting thing is, in the early days of the season show, they really didn't play her as having that sexy look. She did not sashay into some place and, you know, strut the gams and the rest of it. Anyway, apparently I was a terrorist. Yeah, that's why the police were after me. That's why they shot out the windows of the diner back in that other IDU before I was able to get out in time. I wonder if anybody else was hurt. Do you remember those car bombs that were going off? Yeah, well, I guess I had something to do with that. I was part of a cell, and I don't know what we were angry about. I really don't. All I know is that towards the end of the last communique that we had from the diner, I was just sitting here, you know, said goodbye, and I was finishing up my coffee, and all of a sudden I found myself saying this message, these numbers and words, like some sort of code that I was broadcasting. And I was unaware of doing it while I was doing it, except I knew I was doing it, and then I forgot about it, but apparently that activated something, and they were monitoring my transmissions or whatever. I have no idea what I had gotten myself into, and I'm really a little appalled to know that in that IDU I was blowing up cars. Because they had really good cars, too, in that IDU. I didn't mention that, but they had tail fins on a lot of them. They'd come back, so, I mean, God. Oh. Hmm. So what this tends to tell me is that I can be sort of affected when I stay in a place, that I start to turn into the person that I am there, I guess. And that has, I mean, how long was I back in Rich Guy IDU, you know, where I was living up the penthouse? I was there for a couple of weeks. I didn't feel like I changed at all much, but I was in the other one for the week or so, and I'm subconsciously something tells me to start broadcasting signals to activate the cell. I mean, it's starting to worry me more and more, and I need to increase and step up the rate at which I go through the portal in the hopes that I'll get home. But I'm just going to sit here for a while and catch my breath, and frankly, I don't care what is different about this place. I really don't. Don't want to investigate. I don't want to get in my car. I don't want to drive back. I don't want to look at the billboards and see if they have something different. Like, oh, they have cigarette ads in this IDU. How interesting. Because cigarette ads on billboards were bad. They were never really very good, ever. They were okay in the 20s when Chesterfield had, you know, Lydecker and the rest of them paint actual pictures of people enjoying cigarettes. Magazine ads were fantastic, but the billboard ads for cigarettes were always bad. If it was Newport, they were always alive with pleasure, as was their wont, I guess. Or maybe I'm just conflating that with the ads in the back of the magazines. Because in the 70s, in the early 80s, Newport ran the most unnerving series of cigarette ads. With these people caught in these frozen tableaus with their mouths open and their eyes wide, being alive with pleasure. But the more you looked at them, the more they seemed to be in some horrible, tortuous situation that they could not escape, and their frozen smiles seemed to be mute expressions of utter terror. They were just damned odd ads. I don't know. And of course, you think the visually astute people who are putting these campaigns together must know that these things look as odd as they do. But they probably thought they weren't meant to be studied. They were just meant to give a glancing impression. But they had to know that there'd be people who would look at these things and study them and figure out the hidden what is it, Brian Wilson Keyes? Was that the guy who came up with the book about subliminal advertising? Or was that what you would find in the pants pocket of a Beach Boy? I kill myself. Oh, God. What if I go to an IDU where I've killed myself? Well, that'll be a surprise to everybody. Unless, of course, that just stops me right there. I never thought of that. I gotta think about this. Oh, man. Let's play something. Take my mind off this. Let's go to B2, see what the flip side of that crappy song is.
Let me tell you about Humphrey the Camel ambling across the sands. All the nomads giving him a great big hand. He's a big ugly mammal and he's very, very hairy. All the sheiks know he's a swinging dromedary,
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Talking about Humphrey the Camel. In the middle of the night by the light of an Arab moon. They say that you can see him stomping up and down the dunes.
Get away from me.
He's a big raunchy cat, but he swings right along. Grooving to the beat of a Nashville song.
Who is a raunchy cat?
Everybody digs Humphrey the Camel. Come see the camel, Humphrey the Camel. He's about a jumper, a real hip humper. Talking about Humphrey the Camel.
A hip humper?
Down at the Oasis, the Arabs are picking their dates. They're going to a party up at the Sultan's place. There's a camel named Camellia, and Humphrey's gonna bring her one big drink, and he's a seven-day swinger, Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Talking about Humphrey the Camel.
The hip-humping raunchy cat.
Authentic camel love call.
About a jumper, a real hip humper, talking about Humphrey the Camel. Down at the Oasis, the Arabs are picking their dates. They're going to a party up at the Sultan's place.
How about at the Caliphate's?
There's a camel named Camellia, and Humphrey's gonna bring her one big drink, and he's a seven-day swinger. Talking about Humphrey the Camel.
I walk a mile for a ticket, Omar.
Love is like a drum, no need to thump it. You can have the dune, why don't you hump it? I don't... Oh, no. Why did anybody come up with that song in the first place? What compelled somebody to write Humphrey the Camel? And what was the reaction of the audience and the radio markets after the DJ had played it for the first time? Did the lines just light up? Can you play that Humphrey song again? We like that one about the camel. Don't think so. All right, well, I'm feeling better now. I'm feeling much better. And I haven't even had anything to eat here, and I have not had any coffee. So I'm going to order something here. And in the meantime, let's pause for a word from one of our sponsors.
Oh, great spirit, whose voice in the winds I hear, and whose breath give life to all the world, hear me.
The voice is Iron Eyes Cody of the Cherokee Nation. The words are a prayer first spoken 400 years ago by his people. A people who love the land.
Make me walk in beauty. Make my heart respect all you have made. Make me wise that I may know all you have taught my people, the lessons you have hidden in every rock.
In some Americans today, that spirit is reborn. Throughout the land, areas of thoughtless litter and pollution are being restored to their natural beauty. And yet we still have so far to go. So everyone must get involved. To contact the Keep America Beautiful team nearest you, write Keep America Beautiful, 99 Park Avenue, New York, New York. People start pollution. People can stop it.
A public service message from this station and the Advertising Council.
No, I mean, seriously, what if I am dead in an IDU? What happens to me when I go there? Because I occupy the body of the person in that incrementally different universe. So what happens then? The materialization in the phone booth stops and I just vanish? Or I find myself in the coffin, buried, which would really suck. Pardon my language. I mean, that's everybody's fear. It used to be a huge Victorian-era neurosis, I believe, where people were so afraid of being buried alive that they would have coffins with breathing tubes and little bells that you could ring. Or would I just be able to walk out of the booth, get in my car, drive back to my house, and give everybody the surprise of their life? Especially if they'd just come back from the funeral. I mean, they're beginning the long process of grief. They watched the coffin lowered into the earth, the dirt shoveled on the lid, and then left. It's raining, of course. It's always raining. And they come home, and there I am. What's for dinner? What do you mean you were just at my funeral? There must be some terrible mix-up. Hold on, I forgot something in the car. And then I run in the car, and I go back to the diner, and I go back in the phone booth, and I vamoose. Because that's what I would do. I mean, you... The complications that would arise from showing up when you were expected to be gone would be enormous. The questions would be interminable. And I wouldn't really have any good answers. Wow, I hadn't thought about this. Don't like this at all. All right, let's play another song here. Take my mind off it. Let's go to C1. Something homespun and authentic. A banjo.
In 1986, our Navy went to sea. How close we could sail through the shores of Tripoli. We took our biggest cannons and we flew our F-15s. We meant to show Gaddafi just what terror really means. We fired our guns and the limbs kept on coming. There wasn't quite as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they commenced to run it. Down the Gulf of Sidra, let's nuke them till they fall. They've been blowing up our aeroplanes and doing dirty tricks. Ain't that monkey man Gaddafi just enough to make you sick? We said Gaddafi quit it, now you know you're being bad. They just kept a bombing folks and making Reagan mad. We fired our guns and the Libyans kept a coming. There wasn't quite as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they commenced to run. Down the Gulf of Sidra, let's nuke them till they blow. Ronnie Reagan said that we could take them by surprise, but we didn't get a lick of help from our allies. They rode their boats to meet us, and we thought that was swell. We loaded our big cannons up and blew them straight to well. We fired our guns and the Libyans kept a coming. Wasn't quite as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they commenced to run it. Now the Gulf of Sidra, let's nuke them till they call. So fast that their guns couldn't catch us. Ronnie Reagan's mama said,
see, I told you so.
We fired our guns at Tripoli till it came tumbling down. We caught Gaddafi's camels just to run him out of town. We filled their humps with cannonballs and powdered their behinds. And when we touched the powder off, those camels lost their minds. We fired our guns and the Libyans kept a coming. There wasn't quite as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they commenced to run. Down the Gulf of Sidra, let's nuke them till they glow.
It's the only pop song I've ever heard that referenced our European allies' lack of enthusiasm for assisting us during the Libyan operation. Oh, I remember that well. I do. A woman I was dating at the time called me up, convinced this was World War III. Anytime the United States did anything like this, shot something down, it was World War III. That's it. Reagan's gone and done it now. But those were the days when the Libyans were the big international bugaboo. I mean, go back to Back in the Future, which now, to some people, would seem absolutely absurd. Why is Doc Brown scared of Libyans? But at the time, everybody was watching out for the Libyans. They're crazy, man. They didn't seem to have the Islamist attribute that we ascribe to modern terrorism. That somehow got downplayed. They were just weird and angry and terrorists who did terrible terror things, which they did. And hence, 1986, The Line of Death. That's it. I remember there was The Line of Death. These guys are always coming up with stuff like that. It was drawn across a bay, and if any of our ships went into the bay and crossed the line of death, there would be death! There would be death from Libyan! Libyan death! Well, we crossed it, and there was some of your death there, but not perhaps what they had expected. Or maybe what they had expected and just hoped we wouldn't do. In any case, there was one Libyan student at the University of Minnesota hung around the valley, and he was crazy. He was nuts! And all the other expats from that part of the world avoided him, too. Because he's nuts. Wide, staring eyes all the time. Hair wild. Like, the guy was on something, but you never knew. And he hung around with Muhammad, who was this really skinny, sort of Sammy Davis Jr.-looking, like, guy who played pool all the time. And he was, you know, he had a certain amount of Sammy Davis Jr. swank to him. Except for the 70s-style glasses, which were regrettable. But he was the only guy who would hang around with this guy. And he hated everybody. Everybody hated him, and he hated everybody in return. It was like our living example of Libya, the Libyan, right there. And I don't know what happened to him. Perhaps he is now a warlord in Libya in this IDU. I don't know. I should, you know, I really should get out more when you think about it. I mean, all I do is stick around Minneapolis. I should go see if things are really different elsewhere. I mean, just because the only thing different about this particular IDU is, oh, I don't know, all the toothpicks at the counter are cinnamon-flavored instead of wood-flavored. And that could be it. That could be the only difference at all in this IDU. But, you know, maybe something's different in London or Paris. Why should I be tied? I feel familial responsibility. I really do, because I'm me in this place, so I should be going to work and making a living and, you know, shopping at Target and the rest of it, even though in the back of my head I'm thinking, I'm out of here in a week. Am I missing an opportunity? If I do something like that, if I go and travel around for a month or so and enjoy myself at the expense of the pocketbook of me and this idea, does that mean that I'm losing my goal of getting home? No, I have to get home. I have to. All right, I think I have time for one more song before I go. Libyans. I hadn't thought about the Libyans in an awful long time. I mean, I thought about them, just hadn't thought about them as a major international force for fear. Just think, in some incrementally different universe, there's a Back to the Future where Doc Brown looks up horrified and says, "The Tunisians!" I think I've got time for one more here. Let's see, let's go to N2.
America, America, America.
Heck yeah.
Of our country's gala bicentennial spree. Let's celebrate America's 200th birthday with spirit, laughter, and glee. Let's build an old-fashioned birdhouse to salute America and what it means to be free. Let's hang it up with dignity. Let's hang it up for you. Let's hang it up for liberty. Let's hang it up for the love of you and me.
An old-fashioned birdhouse we're going to build.
America's first home was a hand-hewn log, cinched to perfection with marshy bog. Pioneers from miles around had two smiles for a frown. Here was another bird for liberty, another bird of dignity, another bird to keep America free, another bird like you and me. Now some for just a practical joke will hang theirs on the old red oak. but let's carefully hang yours and mine on the limb of the old apple tree. Let's stand tall for eternity. Let's join in this homestead salute, for the bluebirds are all caroling. America needs new equality recruits.
Rat-a-tat-tat, America,
we love thee.
Rat-a-tat-tat, America,
we are the birds of liberty.
Rat-a-tat-tat, America,
we are the birds of dignity.
Rat-a-tat-tat, America,
we are the birds of destiny.
Rat-a-tat-tat, America,
we are the birds of progress.
Rat-a-tat-tat, America,
we are the birds of happiness.
Rat-a-tat-tat, America, rat-a-tat-tat, America, it's so nice to be free.
Apparently, in this incrementally different universe, they celebrate the bicentennial by hanging up an old-fashioned birdhouse on the tree. The apple tree, mind you. Learn something every day. I wonder when this song came out. Huh, 2017. They had their bicentennial in 2017? That would mean that they had the revolution in 1817. Interesting. So if they had their revolution in 1817, that means they didn't have a war of 1812. And probably, you know, they don't miss it at all. I mean, the War of 1812 is just a weird war. It was like a popular series that was brought back for a limited run on Netflix. 10 episodes, and that was it. Other than that, it doesn't play a tremendous role in the way people think. Well, I got to get out of here. I got to see what else is different. If not, I'm not cooling my heels in this joint anymore. I got to hop, 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 and get home. Whenever will I be home? Well, when I do, you'll be here with me. Thanks for joining me, friends. This has been The Diner. I'm James Lilacs, and I'll see you down the road.